Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Lyme disease is the most common vector-borne illness in the United States and can be really difficult to diagnose. People don't always remember having a tick bite, and the symptoms can be confused with other illnesses and conditions. A mother and daughter live through this debilitating uncertainty and are sharing their story of hope and survival despite medical skepticism. Rachel Leland is the author of Finding Resilience, A Teen's Journey Through Lyme Disease, and Dorothy Leland is Rachel's mother and co-author of the book, as well as the president of LymeDisease.org, that is a national patient advocacy organization. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Rachel, I want to start with you because you were the one who endured this as a child. What inspired you to write this book?
So I got sick with Lyme disease when I was 13 years old. And very shortly after I got sick, before we knew it was Lyme, my mom had encouraged me to start writing down everything that was happening in a journal. And so I did that, and I kept that journal for the next like 4 years, and I ended up writing over 500 typed pages in my journal. And so I'd always wanted to do something with that, and I never really quite knew what it was until a few years ago when I decided I really wanted to share my story in a bigger way. So I used that journal greatly in helping write this memoir.
I would imagine at 13 years old, going through something like that could feel incredibly lonely. And that journal was therapeutic. But now you're also turning your journal into a memoir to help other people so they don't feel alone.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. One of my biggest hopes was that I could create this book with my mom that could be something that other people like me back in the day could read and kind of see their own story.
This started back in 2005. That's almost a decade ago. Can you take us back to what happened and pinpointing what took place that led to you getting Lyme disease?
Yeah, well, so in 2005, I was 13 and I started having a lot of knee pain. I'd been an avid soccer player for years, and I started having a lot of knee pain, but we'd go to the doctor and no one really thought anything. They're just like, you're tall, you got growing pains. This is, you're just a kid, and you know, just keep doing what you're doing. And so we did, but then eventually I ended up falling in a soccer game and getting a wrist injury. And even though it was a wrist injury, all of a sudden I just kind of had body-wide pain that led to me being on crutches. And then within a couple weeks, being in a wheelchair. And it seemed to start from that injury with the wrist, but it became clear it wasn't a wrist injury. It was body-wide pain all the time. And so we had to sort of figure out what was going on. And what was happening is we had to go to a lot of doctors to be able to finally get some answers.
Yeah, Dorothy, I mean, this is your daughter. How do you, I guess, reflect and unpack that time of uncertainty getting to a diagnosis?
Well, it was very painful, frustrating time for the whole family. And it was, here we were in California. And at that time, California didn't have much of an awareness that, yes, you can get Lyme disease here. And it was So the doctors that we went to, that wasn't even on the table for discussion. And in 2005, there was the internet, but there wasn't social media. There wasn't very much information. And so we were just kind of going from doctor to doctor. And it's like, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And they'd test for it and it wasn't that. And it was like she was just kind of going down the drain, and we were going there with her. And what I have come to realize now is that is a story that's very common for families throughout California, indeed throughout the country and other countries as well. And there just needs to be actually May, this is May 1st, May is Lyme Disease Awareness Month, and people need to know about it.
I was surprised to learn when reading the book and also preparing for our conversation that many people don't realize that they were bitten by a tick. You know, so, when you're having these symptoms, which can be, there's a lot of nuance to it, and it can be confused with other illnesses and conditions.
And now that you're the president of the National Patient Advocacy Organization, I would imagine, and also going through this with your daughter, there was probably just a huge learning curve.
Well, there was, and we were never aware of a tick bite. Mm-hmm. And so, but even I hear from patients who are aware of a tick bite, and they still can't get properly diagnosed and treated in a lot of cases. So it's, but, you know, she was, ticks are very tiny. They're little tiny spiders. They're not technically insects. They're arachnids, like spiders, and they're very tiny, particularly when they're nymphal, which is the young ones. And it's very, and it doesn't, you don't feel the bite. It injects a little bit of anesthetic in with the other stuff, and so you don't feel it. And so it can be on you for a while and then drop off, mm-hmm. and it's very easy to not know anything about it.
Yeah, when you described it, Dorothy, you called it an Alice down the Lyme rabbit hole phenomenon, and that even recounted one time when you asked a doctor, you know, could this be Lyme disease? And the doctor said, that doesn't exist here. And you live in the Sacramento area. What advice do you have for a healthcare professional that also faces challenges in getting to a diagnosis?
Well, it needs Lyme disease and other tick-borne infections. That's the one that's the most, but you can get other stuff from ticks. Lyme disease and other tick-borne infections need to be on the radar screen when you go to the doctor and you have certain kinds of symptoms. For instance, one of the things about Lyme disease is one of the hallmarks of Lyme disease is migrating pain. So one day it might be that, you know, your elbow hurts, and the next day it's your knee hurts, and then it's your other knee, and then it's your ankle. Well, when you go to the doctor and you say that, they don't, you know, it's like, well, you were complaining yesterday that this foot hurt, and now you're saying that foot hurt. There's a high bit of suspicion there. But Lyme disease, that's a hallmark of Lyme disease, is migrating pain. And there's not many conditions that have that as one of their symptoms. And so that is something that should raise question in the doctor and the patient's mm-hmm. mind. I would say that people just in general have to learn to protect themselves. And if they do feel they might have Lyme disease, that they need to get the information that they need and go in as an informed patient.
Yeah, to advocate for yourself. I mean, Rachel, I can't imagine. I mean, I'd read what physically you were going through, but going from doctor to doctor and test to test and doing everything and not getting an answer, I can't imagine the emotional and toll that would have even to your mental health.
Yeah, it was so demoralizing. And you know, here, you know, I was raised, you think doctors are these important people with all the answers. And so it kind of messes with your mind when you are going to doctor after doctor. Not only do they not know what's wrong with you, but they start kind of pushing it back on me, saying that I was wanting attention because they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And so eventually it just kind of became my fault. And that was really hard to deal with.
What would you like other people to know, teens, younger people, or just someone who is navigating chronic illness and they feel kind of helpless right now? What would you like them to know?
I'd like them to know that they're not alone. And I mean, like, going through this, it feels very isolating. It's very much, you think this is like just happening to you. And so I would definitely encourage them to reach out. There's a lot of people, especially, I mean, like, hashtag nowadays, you just go on social media, hashtag Lyme disease. You'll find a lot of people like me on Instagram. I'm Resiliently Rachel is my handle. And I talk a lot about my experience and show videos back in the day that I had taken. And there's a lot of people out there that you can reach out to and that you can connect with. And I think that's connection is super important.
It is now 9 years later. How are you doing today?
Wait, 9 years later?
Or now don't 20. Like, I'm sorry, 19 years later. I'm sorry.
Like, wait a minute. How old am I?
Time goes by so fast. I'm a journalist,
yes.
Not a mathematician. 19
Neither
years later.
Yeah. So wait, what was your question?
Oh, how are you doing today? Because that happened in 2005. It's now 2024.
Yes, I'm doing very well. I'm currently sitting in my car at work out at my lunch hour. I'm doing very well. Lyme disease is still an important part of my life, and it will always be something that I need to stay on top of and make sure that I'm taking care of myself. And if I have a flare up, we get on it quickly so that we can, you know, keep having me be healthy and happy and just kind of living my life, which is really cool because back when this story took place in the book that we wrote, I never really thought I would have a future, and I never could have possibly imagined a moment where I'm sitting here talking with you about everything.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
I think it is a normal thing when someone goes through something that's traumatic. You kind of just shove it down into a crevice inside yourself and you just move on and you press forward. I would think going through your journal as a child and then turning it into a memoir might have given you a deeper understanding of how this shaped you.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it was very, very hard to go back. I mean, I waited like 17 years to even, I couldn't even look at it for 17 years. But I'm really grateful that I did, because it's pretty cool to be able to have such an in-depth, you know, in-depth work that I spoke all about everything going on, from friends to doctors and everything in between. So it was pretty cool to have that.
Can we say the name of the book?
Yes, of course. Yes, I did in the leap. Finding Resilience, A Teen's Journey Through Lyme Disease,
right.
Of course. And we have a link to the book as well as your website, lymedisease.org. We only got about 30 seconds left. Dorothy, you're also not only a mother, you were also, I think a lot of caregivers could relate to this as well. Do you have any final words for someone who is a caregiver of a loved one that's going through something really difficult?
Stay the course, get information, get support, and, you know, keep on keeping on.
Well, Rachel and Dorothy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's an important message. Rachel Leland is the author of Finding Resilience, A Teen's Journey Through Lyme Disease. And Dorothy Leland is Rachel's mother and co-author of the book, as well as the president of LymeDisease.org, which is a national patient advocacy organization. We have links to the book as well as to the organization on our Insight page. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Sarit Lashinsky and Jen Picard. Our digital producer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones. And our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.